The Football Pod on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to Croke Park. I'm joined by Paddy Andrews in the seventh tier of the Hogan Stand. And James O'Donoghue, with a little smirk on his face, back home in Killarney. Kerry are in the All-Ireland final. And they're playing Donegal in a repeat of the 2014 decider. The James O'Donoghue final, I think it was known as that.
Yeah. One of the great games of modern Gaelic football, and single-handedly probably used as a rationale for bringing in the FRC in 2014.
Exactly. James, I don't know what you're smiling about, because after watching Donegal absolutely rip Meath asunder here, you boys are in for it in Kerry in 2 weeks' time.
I don't think Meath played with 15, though, did they? I think Meath only played with 13. Something must have gone wrong. Huh?
Jimmy, do your victory lap here. Go full Jack O'Connor on this and let the Royals have it. No. After all, Tommy Rooney's chat for the last month.
Absolutely not. I will rise above the... Tommy was the only Meath man who was at it, really, who just stooped to that level.
Go on, where did I stoop to? Huh? Go on, let's just do this. Let's just get this
out
of the way.
You've got a little bit above the station. No, but there was always going to be... You see, Tommy, there's a saying we use down here. It's called, you're only as good as your last game. And you need to always remember that. Because there's always another game that is going to mess you up or has potential to. And you didn't realize that. You got too ahead of yourself after a couple of good results. And you let yourself down. That is it.
Hey, Jimmy, keep your head down in victory and your head up in defeat. There you go.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. No, I think that's unfair. I think that's unfair on all Meath supporters. Really.
No,
I
know you're not, using no, Meath as I'm a separating you. I'm separating you from the rest of Meath.
I think this is a personal attack.
I think what we witnessed there were levels, right? And
yeah,
there's no point getting into the levels that Meath were at when they bet Kerry and Tullamore or Dublin and Portlaoise or Galway here in Croke Park 2 weeks ago. But I think what we saw from Donegal there was something else, Paddy. Like, that was pretty exceptional in the second half.
I thought the first half was very good as well, playing into a big breeze. Meath were always going to come out firing out of the traps, to be fair to them. They've been one of the stories of the championship. And I know, look, in all seriousness, it's a tough day for me to lose an All-Ireland semi-final by 20 points, but they just came up against an absolute juggernaut today. And Galway, or Donegal, for 70 minutes today, we said this about them, at their best, they've so many threats all over the pitch. They are relentless in how they play. The guys come in off the bench, they just carry on. They keep hammering the hammer. You know, that running game with Rorty and Kieran Moore and Ombong and Pater Moga for 70 minutes. It is non-stop. Sean Patton's kick out, a massive story from today. Two of the goals come from that. He is kicking the ball. We're up in the seventh tier. He is kicking the ball into the opposition's 45. So what do you do as a team? Do you say, okay, well, we're going to have to drop off because he's going to kick over our press. But if you drop off, well, then he just chips it to these Donegal Energizer bunnies and they keep the ball for 3 or 4 minutes at a time. So they hurt you in so many different ways. And what they showed today, for 70 minutes, they just blew that Meath team away. They're so clinical as well. We said it with Jim McGuinness, the teams he managed, they do not do anything stupid. They do not kick the ball away needlessly. They will... 9 times out of 10, they'll make the right decision. They'll execute it well. And Meath just came up against a team that were just 2 or 3 levels above them. And it was statement from Donegal. It sets up an incredible final in 2 weeks' time. Two contrasting styles, the Kerry kicking game, the Donegal running game. But today, on the face of that, it was an exceptional performance by them. And Meath, just, it's been progress this season, but that was a game too far for them.
James, are you watching reruns of the Donegal goals there? Because I can hear a bit of noise in the background and a couple of cheers.
I'm watching Alcaraz and Sinner.
Watching the tennis.
Will I turn it off? Will I?
What's the score, Jimmy? No, give me the tennis. I want to know.
You're Sinner, okay, Paddy.
Sinner's 2 sets to 1 up. No, but on Donegal, right? I think that today was the first day we saw them be absolutely rootless. Like, they've always been really, really economical. Great scores, kind of running the ball and having great cutting runs and chipping nice easy scores. But I think when the game was there to be won today, they went for the goals. Now, I know the game was probably even over at that stage, but it was still good to see them have that little bit of rootlessness, because I think to win big semi-finals and finals, I think you need that. You're definitely going to need a goal or two to get up the scores. I think we all thought that Donegal would kick 24, 25, 26 points, which they did, but to get to 3 goals along with it kind of puts them into a different level. On the other hand, with Meath, I think that Meath fell into a trap that every single team falls into playing Donegal in Championship for the first time. It's a different... They're so different under Jim McGuinness. It's like there's bodies everywhere where you don't expect them to be. It reminds me of a game that I played against Donegal in 2012 in the quarterfinal, the year they ended up winning it. And it was a shock to the system. I thought we were ultra prepared for the game and that we were playing well. But the script goes out the window against Donegal and Jim McGuinness teams. Like, you have to play so differently. And Meath fell into every trap. They rushed their shots rather than kind of working the score and making sure that they had the right attack.
Wasn't that like,
100%
that was
the experience.
It's always going to be a danger for me. They're at the start of their journey. They haven't been here before.
Yeah. But even I think there's experience. And then there's experience against Donegal. It's like two different things in Championship. But like they were turned over, and every single turnover in your attack breeds life into Donegal because they can punish you. And as you said, Paddy, they have those legs and they will be clinical. They rushed the shots. They kicked from poor areas. They went for the two-pointers, which meant that every miss was a bigger boost for Donegal and a downer for them. And I think they just relied on kind of individual stuff rather than a plan of attack.
The breeze was significant.
There was a really, really big breeze.
I nearly got blown over in the press box at one stage.
In excitement. Meath had it in the first half, and you felt story of Meath's season, their success has been the ability to kick those two-pointers, and you felt the significant breeze into the canal end. They need to make that count. And like you say, Donegal, all of a sudden, they're really efficient, get into the second quarter, and they have a 2 or 3 point lead, and then Meath, all of a sudden, they have to start chasing the game already. They missed 6 2-point attempts in the first half, and it kind of, they probably had to take them on. That's the beauty of the 2 point rule itself. It's that the risk and reward that teams probably take shots that they may not necessarily, or players that shouldn't take them. But in most cases, they're like, Matthew Costello misses a few. I'd back him. I was looking at the shots going, yeah, that's probably, you need to do that. And we said, for me to have any chance today, Jordan Morris, it was always going to be a massive ask for him to back up that performance. McColl is one of the best in the business. He's just relentless and just picking the guys up, the opposition's main forward. So if Meath were going to win this game, Morris had to be electric. Matthew Costello had to be electric. And they weren't. And then Donegal up the levels as well. And it's, when Meath drop off a little bit and Donegal go up, you run into the realms of a 20-point defeat, which is as harsh as it gets. But
And like, look, we'll come back to that in a minute, but you mentioned Brendan McColl there, right? Morris Brosnan over our shoulder here in the Irish Examiner asked McGuinness the question, what makes Brendan McColl such a good defender? And you might hear, or you might read the full answer during the week, but the word he used was he's conscientious.
Diligent, I would say.
But he actually gave the context of when he first broke through, he got a bit of a clipping. I haven't looked up who was it against in his Championship debut. He got a bit of a clipping. And since then, he's so, as you said, diligent but conscientious in his preparation. And just when I saw Eamon McGee sharing the love heart emojis of Jordan Morris's hop dummy, I just had a feeling that Meath were going to need a couple of different fours to shoot the lights out today instead of Morris, because the Donegal defenders are going to have their homework done. James, we were here in Croke Park on Saturday. We're going to have an unbelievable All-Ireland final to look forward to on the Football Pod. We've got a couple of great guests lined up for our roadshow here in 2 weeks.
Oh, we do.
How is Brendan McColl going to stop David Clifford after the tour de force he put on in Croke Park with 1-9 against Tyrone the other night? Hampsey tried everything and just couldn't stop him.
Well, I think that Donegal set up slightly differently again. They set up differently to what Armagh did, and they set up differently to what Tyrone did. Even today, there wasn't much space for the Meath inside forwards, and I don't think Meath played with enough depth, which meant that Donegal could get loads of bodies just in that kind of middle block around the D. Like, that's not what Clifford wants. Clifford wants lots of space in there. But I think what Kerry did very well on Saturday was that they manufactured set plays to get him on the ball way out in the 13 slot, and where he could decide to either come on the loop or cut back on the inside in the backdoor cut. And Hampsey couldn't read him because Clifford is too strong. So any other player, if you're taking on a man or you're cutting in, there's a good chance you'll be fouled. He's too powerful and strong to be fouled. He just spots people off. So that's kind of what's going to happen.
Did you see the edit that Mark Ford, this brilliant young videographer, captured from behind the Davenant goals of his two-pointer when he slides out in his knees? But like the slowed-down version from that angle, it shows you the strength of him. I think he elbows Hampsey in the head. He hands him off at another stage. He just passes the ball over the bar. But then the celebration. Like, we saw that from Clifford yesterday, the celebrations from the Kerry forwards. I think we got the exact same thing here today from Oisin Gallen and Conor O'Donnell rising the Donegal crowd. It's going to be ridiculous, this All-Ireland final in 2 weeks' time.
I do. I think it's going to be a fitting finale to what's been a brilliant summer of football. The semi-finals probably went according to plan. There was no shocks for maybe 20 minutes today. It was a really entertaining game. For maybe 40 minutes yesterday, it was an entertaining game. But the cream has risen to the top, and the depth that Donegal showed today, but Kerry's quality yesterday, which they've really put on show over the last two outings, you know, all those question marks beforehand about their physicality, their athleticism, their ability to deal with the kind of pressure that the Ulster teams bring, like our man Tyrone, they're going to get it again in 2 weeks' time. I thought it was a very, very good performance from Kerry again yesterday. Struggled on the kickouts, long kickouts in the first half, but just keep the scoreboard ticking over, and that's the beauty of Clifford, particularly with the two pointers. And then once the space starts to open up, he is unstoppable. And I don't like using that phrase, and but you spoke about it yesterday, Jimmy, and he can beat you in any way. And Brendan McCullough is going to have to nearly accept the fact that you could do a really, really good job on Clifford and he could score 8 points from play. Mm. You know, and be like, you could come off and go, I've done all right there. Yeah, and there is no one in the game I can ever remember who has had that sort of aura and about him. He's got to be key. The danger is, we were at the Kerry Dublin final in 23, all the build up was with Clifford, and if he was a little bit off, that might cost Kerry, and that's what happened. Whether we like it or not, there's going to be such a huge focus on Clifford and Michael Murphy in the lead up to this final.
Yeah,
he was red hot in the 22 final, Clifford, and he shoots into victory over Galway. Put it this, he's going to have to be,
he's going to get
carrying
chances.
The burden, but he is, with these rules, I can't see him not scoring 8 points. No matter what Donegal, no matter how good McCall does or what Donegal do, it's Kinshani and Paddy. And Joe O'Connor, another third of force yesterday, athleticism, but Donegal have that athleticism as well. It's just, there's so many nuances to this game, but it sets up, it's spectacular final.
Oh, like the contrasting styles, James. I met a couple of buddies from Mead Hill last night and we were getting excited for the game today. Obviously, bubble reversed very quickly in the second half. But we were talking about Clifford and that statement you had yesterday, he's 6'3", but he plays 5'9", and I hadn't heard it before, but it just captures it perfectly, right? I totted it up last night. I think Kerry actually carved open 10 goal opportunities.
Yeah, they had a lot of chances. A
couple of them went over the bar. Morgan had a couple of brilliant saves and interception. Like, they're going to have to do that the next day, you'd imagine. Donegal carved open a fair amount today as well. They took three. They probably could have had six or seven, you know. So
they are creating, but like, and this might make a difference, it might not, but Clifford got a hat-trick against Tyrone in the National League. So it's like he had that feeling of, he knows he kind of has these fellas' number a bit. And you know, when you're in that sweet spot, you know that they can't really stop me. And I was watching him at one stage and he'd already scored maybe a goal in six or seven. And he was telling fellas, get out the way. We're setting this play up again. I want to do this play again. I want to get another shot off. He just wanted more and more and more of that. And it's not greed, it's responsibility. Exactly. So, like, I think there are goal chances there. Like, we're not, this year is so kind of up in the air in a way. I know that the cream has risen to the top, as you said, Paddy. The two best teams have probably got to the final. But, like, it's a different sport to what we had last year.
Yeah.
I mean, the best forwards are way better now because, like, it's impossible to almost stop them. Like, these fellas are so good. They're so sharp. They're getting so many chances. So it will be interesting to see that Michael Murphy against Clifford matchup. But I know McGuinness came off today and McGuinness took Murphy off today. He would have missed it on the commentary on RT and they were saying job done, right? I reckon he might have picked up a little bit of a tweak around there.
Because James,
he kicked a point very gingerly just before that.
He kind of stumbled into it. The ball kind of broke from, and we was right in front of us.
You want him to get right to the final. Hopefully it's nothing, but look.
Yeah. I got a text from, not yourself, you were just sneering at me in our WhatsApp group. You weren't sending on any helpful. I think poor Mead was uttered, and I'll come back to that in a minute, because there's no poor Mead and there's no excuses today. But got a text about the Murphy one. Keep an eye on that. Ask Jim McGuinness in the press conference downstairs.
And he told
very quickly.
Away.
Very quickly saying, no, Nothing wrong with him. Paddy McBurty sitting beside him, obviously comes on and kicks his 3 points. They've got unbelievable depth. Colm Keyes comes back in at the end. He had missed the first couple of minutes. Colm Keyes, the Irish Independent, asked the exact same question. And no, again, obviously from Jim McGuinness, bumped into Michael downstairs. A couple of young Donegal fans had managed to make their way into the tunnel where the players were, and he was signing a couple of jerseys. And do you know what? He looked pretty good. He was talking to a couple of journalists, and he was at pains to point out that Donegal are going to be underdogs going into this All-Ireland final. I'm surprised to hear that Donegal are underdogs going into the All-Ireland final after watching that today.
Murphy was on the pitch afterwards.
Yeah, he looked fine. He looked okay.
Shaking hands with his own teammates, with the Meath players as well.
He looked okay, Paddy, didn't he?
If it was a genuine, if he had a serious, maybe he had a bump, but if he was in jeopardy or felt that there was a muscular injury, he would not have been on the pitch after the game. He would have been whipped out of there, and the recovery starting from the very second he walked off the pitch. So maybe it was a little bump today, but I think Michael Murphy's going to be absolutely fine for that final in 2 weeks' time.
Well, hopefully so, James, because, like, again, today, shooting into the breeze in the hill, he sets the tone, he gets the first point. Donegal's first six shots today yielded seven scores, not a single miss. They had maybe 5 minutes where they had four wides and Meade had a couple of chances.
Yeah, start but of the second quarter was slow.
The rest of the game was outrageous. Yeah. I'm just after watching a replay here, Paddy, of Oisin Gallen's goal, right?
And
look at what we're watching here, okay? All we're seeing here is Caelan McColgan slipping the pass from. Look at the way he finishes this shot as he slips it to him here. Look at that. Look at the
Tommy,
way he just...
I was here, I watched it.
It sticks, but look at that, the head down as he strikes it.
I've been here all day.
I've been sitting here for the last seven fucking hours.
Can you talk
he's
to
in
us
shock,
about...
Betty. All right, just give him an extra few minutes.
Can you talk to us about the patent missile? Like, because Meade won a few patent breaks, and you're probably going to get that in the rules, but Patton kept trying to pick out these, these set play moves.
Jesus Christ, lads. Even in the first half, just for Scots, he takes risks with it. There's no read on it. You know, he takes two steps back, and that could be a 40-metre missile short kick out, or it could be an 80-metre kick over the press. He is pivotal to what they do, and it's just that conundrum where Meade are having to chase the game, so they do have to try and push up. And all of a sudden, honestly, Jimmy, I don't know if you can see it in the telly, he's landed it inside the two-point arc. You know, and two of the goals come from that. Gallen's goal, he kicks it over Thompson to flick on, and straight away we were saying this is a goal chance. And then the third goal as well, I think it was Conor O'Donnell's goal. Same story, long kick out, it lands on Thompson again. It's just, it is such a weapon, and I'd ask that question for Kerry in this game. Do we allow Patton to go short and all of a sudden Donegal have about 3 minutes of possession where they're so precise that first half, like I say, their first six shots, they get seven scores, and it's that Murphy comes out to the top of the D, or it's Shane O'Donnell or Ryan McHugh, or top of the two-point arc, and it's leaning like a basketball attack, and they go back and forth and back and forth, and they're waiting for one person to switch off, and it's pounced upon. That's one way they hurt teams, and then you say, okay, we're not going to do that, because as you say, Jimmy, you frustrate the fucking life out of you if you're at the other end of the pitch. If you're Jordan Morris going, I haven't touched the ball in 15 minutes, let's get the ball up. So we'll push up, and then Patton kicks the ball 90 yards over you, and they're in on goal. So it's just these different types of questions they ask. They're such a well-balanced team, and they've threats all over the pitch. But that's the challenge for Jack O'Connor. For Kerry, he's experienced enough. Those Kerry players are experienced enough. The big positive for Kerry yesterday, their A game is kick pass, kick pass, kick pass. And we've seen it. We've seen some of Clifford scores. They're the best in the business at that. But you mentioned all the goal chances they created and what they've shown over the last 2 weeks, two weekends, the Tyrone game, the Armagh game, they brought that intensity on and off the ball. And when they do that, they're an exceptional team. They outran Tyrone. And this is the big question mark I've had and lots of people have had around Kerry, is when the shit starts hitting the fan and it's flat to the mat and the intensity is up, they've been found wanting. But over the last two outings against Armagh and Tyrone, two of the best in the business from Ulster, they've shown a side to them, which is why they're in the All-Ireland final, and they're going to need it again against this Donegal team.
For sure. You mentioned the goals, right, and the kicking from Kerry yesterday. But today, I think we saw, and I asked Jim McGuinness about it, the textbook Jim McGuinness Donegal goal, where Keith Curtis gets turned over as Meade on the attack by Rorty, the man of the match. And I don't know if
that
you've seen the behind...
Was it?
What?
Man of the match.
Yeah, man of the match. I thought he was phenomenal. What about yesterday's man of the match? Joe O'Connor was absolutely phenomenal, but Clifford scored 1-9.
Yeah, I know. It's we can't keep giving it to the same guy. Is that? I don't know.
Maybe, Paddy. You're the only one that's given out man of the match awards on this on this pod. You got a bit of grief from one earlier this year, didn't you? But it's hard. It's a hard job picking man of the match, isn't it? But my point was the behind the goals footage of the Kieran Moore goal. There is like five Donegal fellas on this 100-meter sprint. And it's just like, and Meade get their defenders back, but it's just inevitable. There's an inevitability about it. Do Kerry have to watch out for that?
Yes, of course they do. Pádraig Mógán, Eoin Bonn Gallagher, Rorty, Kieran Moore. It's, and then you got impact off the bench as well. It's Donegal. They're in the All-Ireland final, so they ask so many questions of teams, and you've got to have the answers. You've got to be physically ready for it. You've got to be mentally ready for it. You've got to have the aerobic capacity. Then you've got to have the skills up front when you get your opportunities. It's, they are a brilliant team, and they'll ask these questions of Kerry. And that's, it's not the winning and losing of the game, but if Kerry aren't at it physically or match the intensity, and that's the big plus for Kerry for me over the last couple of weekends, is they've reached those levels, which they hadn't all season. But is it something they need to be aware of and try and deal with? 100% of this. Absolutely. Like, if you're in that Kerry half forward line, that middle eight, you are going to, your high speed running is going to be off the charts, because you're going to have to be on top of these guys.
Yeah. Paddy, would you hand me that blue cable that's over there? You are listening to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. Myself and Paddy, you got to plug it out, Paddy, from the back of the box. Myself and Paddy are in Croke Park here. James is in back
Newcastle
home
West.
In Killarney, yeah, in the home place. Talk to us about your thoughts on Kerry yesterday and Tyrone. Like, Tyrone were right in that game on 42 minutes, Paddy. Darragh Canavan had a brilliant start to the second half. He gets 4 points, a two-pointer and 2 points. It's a one-point game. They don't score from their next eight shots. What did Kerry do so well? They seem to shut down that centre channel. And will that work against Donegal?
It was a little bit of Kerry, but it was also Tyrone. They didn't score for 22 minutes. They took bad misses. You know, McElhome has a miss. Matty Donnelly has a miss. A couple of other guys, Kilpatrick. It's just Tyrone's efficiency let them down on a day, you know, similar to what Meade would have faced today. If everything had to go right for Tyrone to win that game, and they're just, that's third quarter shooting just fell off a cliff for them, and on the other side Kerry just kept that scoreboard ticking over. Kerry showed a side, a Donegal-esque side, are just relentless, just the scoreboard ticking over and over and over, and all of a sudden in the blink of an eye the game has gone out to 6 or 7 points, and Tyrone then start having to try and force things, and that's never a good place to be. So I said it after the quarterfinals, you know, the Dublin-Tyrone game was an exciting game because it went down the stretch, but quality-wise from both of those teams, it was poor. And Tyrone just looked at that second half when the pressure was really on. You know, Malik Rook rolled the dice. He started McElhone. Like, I get why you do that, because he's such a special talent.
Yeah.
But they probably didn't have as much kick off the bench as they would have needed to, and they, by that stage, they're chasing the game by the time Rory Canavan comes on. But just that period, that third quarter, the championship quarter, Kerry just upped the gears, very similar to what they did against their man, the quarter final. And Tyrone, when the pressure was at its greatest, their technical ability up front just let them down. Bad shots, bad shot execution. You can't afford that. You cannot afford it when you're chasing the game. And when the ball goes down the other end, and Kerry were just clipping it over the bar. Easy score. Shaunie Shea, David Clifford, Killian Spillane. It's, the margins for errors are so, so small at this stage of the championship.
Yeah. James O'Donoghue, have we got you back? We're going to take a quick break on the Football Pod.
No internet in Limerick.
And I'm going to get James O'Donoghue back for the second half, because it is the 2014 rematch, the Kerry-Donegal rematch. Very different game, very different final we're going to have.
I hope so. Jesus Christ.
We're going to go through that and the rest of the games in a bit more detail after this break.
OTB GAA.
Hello there, and you're very welcome back to the Football Pod of Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue. We've just witnessed, I suppose it was a festival of football. Tyrone and Meade will be fairly disappointed after the weekend, as will Limerick, Paddy. They lost the Talchin Cup final yesterday afternoon. Your old pal Brian Flanagan sent you a nice snap earlier on today, enjoying the win for Kildare.
He was, and the Kildare players, and well deserved. Why wouldn't they? Highly entertaining game, lads. Was, and in that heat, gee, like, it was warm today, but yesterday, Jesus Christ, I was watching it on Sky Go on the phone. Like, the little fella down the park was about 27 degrees. Bit more quality told in the end. Bit of more impact off the bench. Brian McLaughlin again coming in after his Ryder Rovers in the semi-final against Fermanagh.
He nearly got caught for a goal at the end too, right?
He did. Kildare, look, it's been credit to both teams, right? Because teams losing the provincial championships, and we've seen it, there is a tendency, some teams and some players can throw their arse at the Tailton Cup and say, I'm going to go travelling abroad, I'm going to go to the States or whatever it might be. And that's fine, young players that make their choices. But Derek Irwin mentioned it yesterday in his Man of the Match interview, and Jimmy Lee and that Limerick team have obviously done it as well. They said, right, let's get back, give it the respect it deserves, and train away for the next 3 months to try and win the Tailton Cup and keep Limerick football and Kildare football on the road. And I think you look at today, Meath, the Tailton Cup winners from 2 years ago in the All-Ireland semi-final, Down won it last year, the progress they've made under Conor Laverty. So the Tailton Cup is working as a concept for the teams that buy into it. And I thought we saw that yesterday, an outstanding game. And for Kildare, promoted from Division 3, very, very close to being in the Leinster final, that narrow defeat to Louth in that Leinster semi-final. They took it hard, but they bounced back, and they've been the best team in the Tailton Cup, and it showed yesterday. But credit to Limerick, Division 4 team, promoted this year and getting all the way to the Tailton Cup final. But I thought that little bit more quality at the end was the difference for Kildare, and well deserved, and they should enjoy it. Kildare football's in a lot better place now than this time 12 months ago.
No, I actually felt sorry for Limerick a little bit, because I think Kildare were the better team, definitely had more quality. But James Nocton didn't seem fully fit.
He wasn't right.
And I mean, you're talking,
wasn't he?
But you're talking probably, you know, your sharpshooter, your main forward, your go-to guy. If he's carrying a little bit of a knock, it can affect everyone. Richter as well seemed to have his hamstrings strapped up to the nines. Like, that's two of your inside line kind of hampered with injury. And when it did come down to quality on the other side, Kerwin, every chance he got was snapshot, bang, over the bar. I think it was just like, and the same with Sinkey. I think he got a couple of balls, you take on his man, throw it over. Just that bit of quality. And I always say, you're only as good as your conversion rate. And like, if you are doing everything right, but the chances are going astray on the other side, it makes no difference what you're doing. So I think Kildare just had that extra bit of quality in front of goals in the two lads.
That
was the main difference.
For Kildare, you know, we spoke about Derek Irwin so many times on this show over the years, and Kildare fans be pulling their hair out. He has the ability to get hot, and he has a day like yesterday where he kicks, 8 points from play. It's the difference. He wins the game for Kildare, and he'd have other days where he'd have 8 shots and he's 8 misses, you know. So it's just yesterday, when he plays to his potential, he's an exceptional player, such a weapon for Kildare. And that's the big challenge for them and for Brian Flanagan to kind of build on this now. Like, every team in the country is looking to be consistent. You know, that's the name of the game, you know. Galway, we're talking about one of the best teams in the country trying to be consistent. Dublin, Kerry trying to be consistent. Every team is trying to find that. And Kildare have been totally inconsistent within games and over the last 3 or 4 seasons. But if they're to progress and kick on from this again, it's about, can they sneak their way through Division 2 and possibly get promoted? The Leinster Championship, all of a sudden, from next year, you've Loud, you've Mead, you've the Dubs, you've Kildare, Offaly under Mickey Hart as well. That's a massive championship, and it's a live option for any one of those teams to win it. So it's that consistency from their players, but as a team and their performances, but they've got a hell of a boost and the momentum and just the buzz around Kildare football again. And the same for Limerick. Can they sneak their way up and get back-to-back promotions as well? As tough as yesterday's defeat will be, I thought it was a great game. Credit to both teams, the players and the coaches. But it was good for Kildare to get their hands on some silverware.
James, I mentioned it to you yesterday. Maurice Brosnan had that piece where he spent 4 days with the Limerick footballers, and he had this stat that 30 of their squad can hit over 9 metres per second.
Kick it over the bar though, Tommy, from 25 yards out.
Listen, the fellas like James Nocton scoring 4-12 in a game, they got loads of brilliant forwards, as we've seen, but that base level of athleticism, 5 lads that can hit 10 metres per second, I just thought it was a fairly remarkable stat. Like, collectively, they've got a group there, and clearly they've got a really good energy behind them. They've won Division 4, they've got the Tailton Cup final. We've seen the bounce that Meath and Kildare and Westmead and Down have got. Well, not Kildare yet, but Down have got from these upper-tier teams in the Tailton Cup that are getting their wins, right? How can Limerick push on from here? Because I think Munster football needs the likes of Limerick and Clare to push on too, right?
It does. I think that Limerick need to keep Jimmy Lee there and build something, you know, with the right leadership, because a lot of the time, you know, we see a manager do a great job with a team, build, you know, core values and team morale and everything, and then maybe it falls apart when someone moves on or the group is broken up. Like, from what I saw yesterday in Croke Park, Limerick have something to work with, big style. I mean, look, you threw a few GPS things at me there. Is that overly impressive? You know, it's not. Like, if it was on an athletics track, you'd say fair enough or something. But like, it does come back. It does come back to, you know, what
like
you're doing
Sam
with
Allen
the ball.
There, Jimmy.
I know. I don't want to sound like that. I don't want to sound that. But even sometimes you see players and they're going around. I look what I did in training last night. I was like, could not give fiddlers. Like, what did you do with the ball? It does come down to the ball. But like, they are improving 150%. And they have a great thing going. They have some brilliant individual players. As you said, they have obviously the fitness side of it down, and they'll be going from strength to strength. The thing is, the Munster Championship, it's a strange championship. Do you know, like, you named out those teams in Leinster, Paddy. That seems like an exciting championship that everyone can kind of go for. The Munster Championship, I still think, is... it's reaching for that. It's not there. It's a poor championship. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. It's a poor championship. So I don't think that maybe it's promotion really is the main thing that they'd be looking for rather than you know, a Munster championship.
You're living in Abbeyfield there now. Would you talk out with Limerick, no?
I am not living in Abbeyfield. I am living bang in the middle of Killarney, baby.
He'll end up giving out his air code one day if we keep winding him up.
the green would look good, wouldn't it?
We've only done a couple of minutes here on the Talchin Cup final. I'm going to get it in the neck anyway because you boys
same
have created
you,
a narrative.
Same as Tommy didn't want to cover it at all, yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, but you've done incredibly well. It's amazing. You're like Picasso. You can just paint reality whatever way you want it. But Kildare have this young base of footballers now that are coming through and they can build on it. A big level to step up. You know, I think
the first step.
I think Meade saw it there today, right? Wherever they got themselves to James and Paddy Meade this year, and they had their big moments. They're a long time waiting on it. How can Mead recover from this?
It's a tough place to be 45 minutes after losing All Ireland semi final by 20 points. But
1979 was the last time.
It's the harsh reality. This Mead group feel like they're on the start of their journey. Donegal are just way further down the track. But no more than what we just said about Kildare, are Mead in a better place than they were 12 months ago? You would feel they are. They will go into next season with genuine ambitions of getting promotion to the top tier, genuine ambitions of winning the Leinster Championship. And they've shown the biggest thing, the atmosphere. We said it to you, Tommy, when we were sitting here off air, 5 minutes in, there's an unbelievable buzz around this place. A full house. The Meade supporters have reconnected with this team. Robbie Brennan and those players have given them something to believe in. So this is the first step along the way. And the biggest thing, yes, today is hard, and they were nowhere near good enough today, but we're talking about the very, very top of the game. You know, look at where they're coming from. This is a place in the All-Ireland final. That Meade are just not ready for that yet, and that was shown today. But you're telling me the belief those players have within themselves, and also outside of the county now, people are looking going, yeah, Meade are genuine. They're a top team. You know, that group was gone, and they've beaten Dublin, they've beaten Kerry, they've beaten Galway. And the big thing from the Leinster perspective, they had no fear of Dublin. Like, that was hanging over the Leinster Championship. What Jimmy, you're saying is currently the state of the Munster Championship for any of those teams. You know, with all the win in the world, what success. Kerry just going to steamroll everyone here. Whereas Meade are in a slightly different place. It's a step on their journey. Today is tough, but they've just got to dust themselves down and get ready for 26.
Yeah, James, I think you definitely weren't the first, but between DMs and tweets, I'm up on a poor Meade 86 counter at the minute. I think people are misinterpreting the poor Kerry comment back in the day. It was through injuries and excuses. So there's going to be no excuses today. Meade really just weren't good enough. But you mentioned that facing that Donegal machine back around the start of your career. You guys were obviously at a different level, but Kerry were in a bit of flux. You were between that great team of 09 to the team that you would rebuild and win that All-Ireland again in 14. Can you learn from today and build on it over the winter after you have your few points and you get over the real disappointment of not producing it in the second half today?
You can, and I think you have to put everything into perspective. I mean, would anyone have said that Meade would be in an All-Ireland semi-final at the start of the year? I think not a hope, would they? So it has been a brilliant year. Obviously, this does put a serious dent in everyone's kind of, I suppose, ego in a way. No one wants to go out and get a dusting in a semi-final with the country watching. But look, it's happened now. It's just a matter of of getting back at it. They've put down the building blocks. They'll be fine. I think the Menton going off today in midfield did not help them one bit. Now, I know you're saying no excuses or whatever from Meade, but if your main man in the air is gone and Patton is there launching the ball down top of your half-back line, it is putting you in a vulnerable position. I think the Kerry are going to be vulnerable to that as well.
The bench as well, Jimmy. Like, you know, he didn't have to come in after 20 minutes. After the impact he made against Donegal nearly for the final quarter, they had to roll the dice earlier than would have liked. That midfield, the game was done at that point. Like, that second quarter, Michael Langan just starts dominating. Hugh McFadden starts dominating Billy Hogan's kickouts. And that was the platform. And it was a 5-point lead at half time. I think the whole stadium knew at that point to come.
Yeah.
The Meade's race is run here.
Yeah. Look, well, as a Meade supporter and a Meade man, all I can say is I can't wait to see what they go on to produce next year and the year after. So we'll wait and see what they do.
Talk about the final, though, no?
That's what we're going to get to now. And I think Tyrone are in a very similar boat. We know there's a wave coming in Tyrone of the really impressive underage teams. Listening to Malachy Rourke last night, he doesn't think the underage players will come together and come through as quickly as maybe have done in previous times. I think there's a little bit of a gap, I think, these days between the younger teams. And
20s,
but Tyrone,
that's because 20s is so young.
Yeah.
20s is so young.
Yeah.
Look at the physical demands now.
Jimmy, what you
on players, how fast the game is. To which?
McAlhone.
Throw him in for the start. What do you think? This guy, he's going to be a superstar.
He is. I think.
You kept him out?
I would have. In hindsight, I would have. Yeah, but even at the time, I was surprised. I was like, to take Peter Hart out, I was surprised because he played so well against Dublin. And I know that Kerry would have been worried about him and thinking about him. And also the fact that McAlhone has such speed and an eye for a score towards the end of the game. When the game opens up, he might be more dangerous. But how do you keep some of that ability off? You know, if he's knocking on your door saying, why am I not playing here? I'm one of the best players in training. I played well in the game last year. Yeah, I know, but look, that's it. And he's not far away from being one of their stars. You know, he's playing brilliantly. It was just a little bit early for him, I reckon, in terms of starting, maybe. Even though he still played quite well.
They went after it right from the get go. They did well at Shane Ryan's kickouts. You know, it's Clifford's goal. And Kerry could have a couple other goal chances as well. Once it's similar to what we just seen here today, once they had their noses in front, you know, you just felt Tyrone weren't going to have enough coming down the stretch. Like, and that's
no, I don't think Tyrone had it up front, Paddy, in the second half. They ran out of ideas. I think Kerry did really well to clog the centre of the goals. And because Tyrone physically didn't have fellas of maybe a Murphy or a Clifford to win ball in there, they were really playing on the peripheries, out the sides. And Michael McKerney came on, he kicked two or three from the sides.
They were chasing at that point.
Yeah, even Rory Canavan throws a few too.
Again. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I you could tell that Tyrone had worked on getting the ball into the full forward line. At the start of the game, every time they got it, they looked up, they were looking for eye contact, they were putting little low hand passes in, they were putting little kick passes in, trying to get runners off the shoulder. And they started brilliantly, but they just ran out of puff. And I think that it actually came down to small things. Like, McCurry started really brightly, like really sharp. He wins a load of balls out in front of Foley, right?
But it didn't happen.
What happened was he missed the goal chance, right? Kind of a weak effort with the left leg across his body. Then he has a shot with his right leg. He hooks it wide, and then he gets a ball down low and he fumbles it. So he's after making three mistakes in a row. When he was jumping out of his skin before that, he seemed to kind of just not recover from it. And Jason got a bit of life and ended up having a great game. I think Tyrone are short a forward or two in there, just maybe for something a bit different, for a bit of variety.
They've won the minor and 20s All Ireland, the two exceptional teams. Tyrone are coming.
Yeah,
and they got a great coach there. They still have some brilliant players. The challenge is for the likes of Matty Donnelly, you know, Peter Hart, exceptional players over the last decade for Tyrone. That's a tough defeat to get the shoulder to the wheel again, but you do feel there's momentum behind that county. Yesterday was just like I said, they ran out of puff. You know, they came up against a very, very good Kerry team, and what Kerry have done over the last two games, the last two outings, have shown a side of intensity without the ball and also with the ball, that running game to supplement. We know they have the skills, the fundamentals, the kick pass, and the genius inside, you know. But Joe O'Connor again yesterday, lads, just intensity, playing at getting turnovers, getting hands on, just wrecking ball for the opposition.
Yeah, James, I think Joe O'Connor, like, he was a Stacks captain at a very young age. I think he's always had the leadership qualities, maybe the frame. Yeah. But I know he had a bad injury over the last couple of years, but the levels this fella has got himself to in terms of football has been off the charts. James.
Yeah, I mean, Joe was just coming into the panel when I was kind of on the way out the back door. And, like, you could tell he had unbelievable potential, but that was what he had at the time. It was potential. He had a rugby background. He was really fit, fast, strong, but his ball skills were probably a shade off maybe a Kerry midfielder. And he has worked so hard at that. I can tell, because now he is actually one of the leading fellas in terms of skills. You can see when he breaks tackles, he's able to shift his feet, throw over the ball lovely with his right leg in a curling shot. He can go across his body. He has a full range of kicking, which he didn't have a couple of years ago. Like, the improvement in his game has been phenomenal. He is now, and I don't think anyone knows quite where he's playing at the moment. Is he playing 12 or is he playing 8? No, he's kind of between positions, but he is so dangerous, so powerful, and an absolute leader. But you know what I think his greatest thing to carry is? Kerry obviously want to play a fast game and get Clifford on it. But when they are held up, they're giving it to the side, whatever. If that ball gets into Joe's hands, his sidestep and his power off to get past someone is unbelievable. And then he takes in two or three, and he's always a very good decision. Either take his score, maybe fist it over if he has to, or slip it off to someone like Clifford or Sean O'Shea. Like, his step and actually breaking lines is so dangerous in the new rules, and I think he's thrived on that. That along with his leadership, 10 out of 10.
So there's one thing you say to Joe O'Connor to work on over the next 2 weeks before the All-Ireland final. What would it be?
To work one on. Thing you, could you have something in your mind, Alex.
I do have something.
Where is he going? Go on, Pat.
Did we see Alex Burns' goal in the Tata Cup final yesterday?
Oh, yeah. That was a sensational finish to open your body and get that much power.
Beautiful.
Kieran Moore did something similar today.
Kieran Moore did something similar.
You're saying his goal to take it.
He's going to get on the end of things. And then now he gets that wonder goal where he lashes at it against Cork. It's an unbelievable goal. But a couple of opportunities yesterday. He's going to find himself in that position.
He will.
By the nature of how he plays. And just that lit. You don't need to. You've spoke with us so well, Jimmy. You don't need to lash the letter off the ball. Like, if he's in that position in 2 weeks' time,
open the body, side foot.
There's no harm in using the inside of your boot, roll a pass pattern into one of the corners, because you feel like he's probably, the way he plays and the influence he's having on the game, he's going to find himself in that position.
Yeah.
And smashing the ball over the bar, this game is going to be so tight. If I was Joe O'Connor, I'd spend maybe 2 weeks down in Fitzgerald Stadium just doing 5 minutes before training, just side footing the ball into the corners of the net.
Yeah, because you know when you're going at pace, the pace he's going
exactly.
at.
Exactly.
If you don't need to trash the ball when you're going at pace, you lose all control of where it's going. If you side foot at that pace when you're going that fast, the pace in the ball is huge. You wouldn't actually realise how fast the ball actually travels. So that's actually
Alex
a great
Burns
point.
30 yards out, taking that shot with the inside of his foot.
That was class.
Absolutely glorious. Goal.
Even Moore's goal today, like for side foot. He kind of topspin curled it into the bottom corner. It was a very classy finish.
That kid is Rolls Royce.
Yeah, he is.
He's so
that was, yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Joe Connor was unlucky as well. Niall Morgan made a sensational interception from a Sean O'Shea hand pass that he didn't have a tapping goal at the back post. I think in Langan and Joe Connor, I think we're seeing our all-star midfielders across the last couple of months. They've both been absolutely off the charts.
Yeah.
Right. We have got loads of plans in the football pod over the next couple of weeks. We are back in Croke Park the Thursday night before the All-Ireland final for our sold-out roadshow. We've got big-name guests that we're revealing on Tuesday. James and Paddy know who they are. They're both excited. James, you've got a Kerry comrade who you're very close to joining you, you know, who maybe had a bit of a say in a couple of All-Ireland finals himself. Mark, I nearly said where we're going with Donegal, but Paddy, you're going to have to wear a Donegal jersey on the night too, because we're going to have two Kerry men and one Donegal. So will you wear a Donegal jersey at the pod?
No.
Will you bat for Donegal? He can't have two against one.
No, look, we'll get into the nuances and predictions of the All-Ireland final over the next 2 weeks. It's going to be very exciting, but I'll back up our Donegal guests. Just so we always make our guests feel at home, and they're very kind to join us on the show.
Yeah.
It's going to be
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. And we've got a spectacular final to wrap it up, and we are going to be right there with it.
We can't wait for it. I've got one more question. James, 2014 rematch.
Seagulls are coming for us here, Tommy.
We talked about the FRC and that final itself. It wasn't the prettiest, but what was the build-up like in comparison to this one? Like, you know, Donegal had obviously overturned the Dubs in that famous semi-final. You guys got through Mayo after that epic replay. Is it similar this time around? Like Donegal, Kerry are slight favourites at the minute. Donegal were incredible today. Like,
are they favourites?
Kerry are slight favourites in the bookies. So.
But like, I said, Meath fell into traps today that Kerry won't. But I still think that Kerry need to do a lot of tactical work here. Playing Donegal, especially in a final, it's a different challenge. You have to be really mentally prepared for it. There's going to be bodies everywhere. They're going to try and read what you're doing. If you're rushing into attacks and shots and they're turning you over or you're missing, then they are punishing you. So the tactical work, we maybe 3 weeks to do before the Donegal game. Kerry will have two. I think most of it will be tactical work.
I bumped into Keane O'Neill and Garrett Corla earlier on, getting ready to take a seat before the game. He obviously had a massive impact back in 14 when Fitzmaurice was coach.
Yes. Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
They did, honestly. Yeah, coming up to that final, we were playing like Meath. We were, you know, helter skelter, getting the ball in. I nearly wanted to retire by the time the final actually came around because of the training we had to do for it and the jobs we were all doing individually for that game.
Okay.
Now, again, it's different. It's different rules. It's different rules. Okay. It's a different sport. It's not the same. Everything has changed. There's way more space, but at the same time, there is still an element of Donegal in this new rule system.
This is going to be one of the great
finals. It's going to be great. It's going to be brilliant. Congrats to Kildare, Tailteann Cup champions. Hard luck to Limerick. Hard luck to Meath and Tyrone. Their summer has ended, but Kerry and Donegal are back in the All-Ireland final. Donegal are having their press night in Convoy on Tuesday. I'll be heading up to that for Off the Ball. We'll be back with a members pod during the week. Kerry are having theirs on Saturday, James, in Killarney. Any chance of wrangling a cup of tea on Saturday? Are you busy?
No, absolutely.
Are we friends again? Yeah. Obviously, we've had a touchy couple of weeks here.
No, we haven't.
It's a drive through Abbey Field to get to it, anyways.
I know.
I knew this was going to happen already.
If I released the tape from the WhatsApp group today, you stooped low, brother.
No,
you
I did not low. Stoop low.
You did. You behaved on the pod. Can't wait for the next couple of weeks. The build-up is going to be unbelievable. Paddy, you can go home now after 8 hours in Croke Park. I've tied you here.
What's Paddy's journey home? 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I left the house yesterday at 9 o'clock and got back at 1 o'clock in the morning. 9 a.m. for 1 a.m. Absolutely. By the time I'd even stopped to go to the toilet, I see Tommy's Instagram story. He's out drinking pints. It's just a bad gig from down here. Let's.
I have championship this week. Only had one.
We need to have more games. Okay.
Be good. Talk soon, boys.
See you, lads.
See you.
Thanks for looking after me there.